welcome to the Messiantics Podcast, a podcast about all things Messianic Judaism. Each episode, we will be sharing our opinions as we tackle some of the biggest issues in Messianic Judaism. Now, here's your hosts, Rabbis Eric, David, Jonathan, and Toby. Good day, guys, and thanks for joining us on another episode of the Messiantics Podcast. We are actually down one today, as Rabbi Jonathan is not with us as we record this episode. He and his family are out of town visiting family, so we will look forward to having him back with us in our next recording. But nonetheless, we want to talk about something that I think is really vital and important right now. And part of what kind of struck this to me, we're dealing with the Jewish world as a whole is still dealing with and aching in our hearts at the events that have transpired, beginning with October 7 with the Hamas attack on out of Gaza onto southern Israel, and everything that's still going on there, the war that's still raging between Israel and Hamas, and in particular, what we see positive and what we see negative around the world to that regard. And I'm not even wanting us to dive into the anti-Semitism and the rising or now growing more so voice of that. But there's a whole other side of this that I think we've kind of ignored inadvertently in the Messianic movement that I think is necessary for us to delve into. And that is the reality that, for lack of a better way of wording it, this is our time to shine. Right, this is the Messianic Jewish movement's time to shine, whether we realize it or not. And I realize that's not necessarily the best way to word it, but that's the reality. Because what we've noticed in the world around us is that, for the most part, obviously they're outliers, but for the most part, the Jewish world has come together in unity like we've really never seen before, and really powerful ways. I mean, just the response to the IDF calling up reservists, they've had 150%+ response, right? So if they called up 100,000 people, 150,000 came and responded to that call and are fighting. Now, they've called up a lot more than that, but nonetheless, just we see that, and that's across the board. That's secular, that's religious, that's Orthodox, that's everybody that has responded to that call for reservist call up. The entire Jewish world has come together in unity, obviously, again, with the exception of some outliers, has come together in unity against anti-Semitism, against the Hamas attack, and so on and so forth. And yet, for whatever reason, Messianic Judaism, who should be leading the way on unity, who should be, as we read in the scriptures, should be the head and not the tail. Yet, for whatever reason, we are not leading the way on that. And so today we just wanted to kind of delve into that conversation. What is unity? How should it exist? What should we be doing as a movement, Messianic Judaism as a movement, to influence the greater Jewish community for the good news of Messiah, for the light of Messiah? What should we be doing to become the head and not the tail in this scenario? And how do we turn this around? We're now, a month and a half, almost 2 months. We're now 2 months into this battle. From October 7, almost 3 months, January 7 will be 3 months, right? And so we have not really pressed into the precipice of what Messianic Judaism could be doing for Mashiach, for the kingdom, in the midst of this crisis. So we just wanted to kind of toss that one around and dialogue on it some. And hopefully it's a blessing to you, and I hope that you'll dialogue with us some in comments through as you listen to this episode, and let us know where your thoughts and heart is on this matter. But with that said, I'm going to kind of toss that softball out there and let Rabbi Eric or Rabbi Toby take a swing at the pitch, and we'll go from there.
Well, I wanted to say, as we get into this, that there have been some events within the greater Jewish community. For instance, in Washington, D.C., they had somewhere between 350 and 500,000 Jews from all backgrounds, all branches, gathered together to stand with Israel. And there have been Stand for Israel groups and rallies around the nation where Jewish people have got together to do things. But we really haven't had a messianic response in that way. We've joined with others, but again, we have something that that the greater Jewish community doesn't have, and that's Yeshua. And we have to acknowledge that there is a difference between us. While we're part of the greater Jewish community, we're a unique part because of our faith in Messiah Yeshua, our belief in him as the light of the world, as the restorer of the nations, as all of the things that he is. And yet we're not, as a movement, joining together to do things in unity. For instance, I've seen three different letters that were sent out on behalf of the Messianic movement. One was by the UMJC and several other organizations. One the MJA did. And then there was a third one by Tikkun, which I think Tikkun may have been a part of one of the other letters also. But I don't understand why we didn't have one unified letter standing for the statement of the entire Messianic Jewish movement in response to this. We should have been able to do that. The greater Jewish community sent out letters on behalf of hundreds and hundreds of rabbis and organizations and synagogues. We should have been able to do that. And part of the problem, as I see it, for instance, in our tomorrow I'm having, and I, whenever you listen to this, know that tomorrow will probably already have happened.
But, yeah, and this is recording specifically for context, recording on December 27.
Right. So, but tomorrow I'm meeting with a pastor of a church that recently held a Stand With Israel rally in a neighboring community, and they invited the traditional Jewish community, but they did not invite the Messianic Jewish community to be part of that event. And this event was held by a group, sponsored by a group named CUFI, or Christians United for Israel, which by their nature in their planning, they leave Messianic Jews out of their events because they don't want to offend the greater Jewish community and lose access in Israel and different things for political reasons. But one of the reasons they can get away with doing that is that the Messianic Jewish community is fractured in ways that we shouldn't be, and therefore we don't have a united statement, a united stance that would force in ways the Christian community to see us as the answer instead of an afterthought. And so I'm meeting with the pastor to discuss why they left as a congregation. Do you realize that it's anti-Semitic to leave Messianic Jews? You can be anti-Semitic only to Messianic Jews and still be anti-Semitic. If you leave us out as if we don't exist or aren't there or are unimportant, there's an anti-Semitic level to that. But part of the reason I think that that exists in the way that it does is that we as Messianic Jews are not unified. And by unified, I don't mean we have to be all part of the same organizations. I think that there should be and are reasons to have different organizations, just like there's reasons to have different restaurants. You know, sometimes I want a steak, sometimes I want Italian food, sometimes I want a fish meal, sometimes I want Mexican food. And each one of those provides a different flavor and a different sustenance, but it's all food. And so I'm not saying that we shouldn't have different organizations. I think each of the organizations provide a sustenance to the movement. But I think that as those organizations, we should be able to get together on important issues and speak as one voice into those matters.
You're meeting with this guy to probably, I'm assuming, to educate him on what kind of
who we are, what we, why it's important to include Messianic Jews as part of the greater Jewish community and the believing community.
Was he? Did he? I don't know how much you've talked to him. Did he? Was this out of like ignorance, like an innocent, you know, like he just doesn't, I mean, because I've talked to people who are in the church that don't know what Messianic Judaism is still to this day.
No, he knows who Messianic Jews are. He was part of this CUFI organization meeting, and because...
So he was trying to make them comfortable.
Right. They CUFI will, at their events, and again, this is one of the things Messianic Jews as one voice need to speak about, is at CUFI, which is John Hagee's group, Christians United for Israel, which raises a fortune to give to Israel but does not support Messianic Judaism, does not support Messianic works in Israel, gives their money to Orthodox ministries largely that use some of that to actually persecute Jewish believers in the land.
And to actively work against the Besorah. Yeah,
and to actively work against the good news being spoken. So there's this group called Cufi that is raising millions of dollars that's going to Israel. And I'm glad that they are supporting Israel. Please don't get me wrong. But in doing so, they're purposely leaving the Messianic Jewish ministries out. And remember when Paul was traveling to the different nations and speaking to the congregations outside of Israel, and he was collecting offerings to bring back to the poor in Israel, the people he was bringing that offering back was the believing community in Israel so that they could be sustained and be a light to the nation. And it wasn't just that he was giving that money to non-believing Jewish people, as these groups do.
And important to this conversation, since you brought up this example, is those funds were being raised from the body of Messiah outside of Israel, which are Jews and Gentiles alike, right? And understand that what we know is the church today didn't exist yet at that point in time. So he's raising this up from what we would consider today Messianic Jewish communities, but it was Jews and Gentiles alike. That money was being given to Jewish believers, and then it was taken by Jewish believers to Jerusalem to be given from the nations to the Jewish believers in Jerusalem, who then dispersed it throughout the Jewish community, not just the believing Jews, but throughout. And so what's really important for us to understand is the work that Cufi is doing could be phenomenal. It could be amazing, but it falls tremendously short in the fact that they intentionally leave the Jewish believing community, the Messianic Jewish community, out of the conversation, out of the kind of process and order. Because if it were being done in a biblical example, and I'm not saying this is the only way, but if it were being done in a biblical example, they would be raising those funds, giving them to Messianic Jewish organizations who would then distribute through Israel. And they're not. But what they're also doing is they're cutting us off at our knees, because this is a point in time where the body of Messiah as a whole, which includes the church, should be looking to Messianic Judaism to be that indoor, to get that foot in the door of the Jewish community, to be able to shine the light of Messiah to the Jewish community at a point in which the entire Jewish world is broken, is heartbroken, is in pain and anguish, is suffering, realizing that what's happening in Israel is only happening to Israel because they're Jewish, for literally no other reason. It's because they're Jewish. And we recognize, because of the response, the anti-Semitic response that has risen around the globe, that we're next. Like, Jewish people aren't safe anywhere. It doesn't matter where we are. And so this should be an opportunity where the body of Messiah should turn to Messianic Judaism and say, hey, you're the head and not the tail. How can we embolden you and participate with you in bringing the light to the Jewish community? And instead, the Cufi, which is one of the most well-known Christian organizations that support Israel, are doing the exact opposite. And I truly believe, as Rabbi Eric said, a big part of that is what we're talking about today. We have next to no unity in the Messianic Jewish movement. One of the most impressive things that I've experienced in the Messianic Jewish movement was Jewish Voice Ministries' Messianic Leadership Roundtable. And what made that successful was that it was an opportunity that wasn't on any of the organization's turf per se. It was an opportunity for all of Messianic Judaism to come together and to work together and to sow into each other, to build. And that was probably the most unified experience I've ever had in the Messianic Jewish movement. And I've spent my whole life in this. And we don't have anything like that now. And this is the opportunity. This is the time where we should be setting aside the differences. Again, like we've said, we're not saying that the UMJC, the MJIMCS, the MJIA, the Tikkun International, all these different organizations. Yeah, we're not saying that these guys should all just like throw down everything they're doing, walk away from it, and become one super PAC type organization. But what we are saying is that we should be working with each other, not against each other, not separately. Rabbi Eric brought up this statement that was made by the MJ, and then another one made by members of UMJC and Tikkun and Jews for Jesus and Chosen People Ministries and a few others, and then a whole other one made by Tikkun. And like, why are we making multiple state? Why are we not coming together and going, the Messianic Jewish movement as a whole stands against this? Here are our reasons, and here are the signers, which are representation of all of the organizations.
Right. It's not like it used to be where you'd have to wait on the mail to deliver things and stuff. We have email and systems now where we can get a letter signed by everybody in minutes and distributed out. And again, I'm not against these different organizations. We appreciate each one for what it does and who they are. But we should be able to speak with one voice together in this way, in such a way that we become the light we're supposed to be, so that the Christian world, when they're looking for a mechanism or a way to give in Israel, they're giving through us, not so that we can control the money, but the reality is that we're supposed to be carrying the light. And if you give to the Jewish community in Israel that's not messianic, they are not going to have the same light, the same representation, the same power, the same ruach that the messianic community does. And so you're giving, like, someone's in a dark room and you're throwing food into them. Well, it's nice that you're throwing food and clothes into them, and it's nice that they'll pick it up and find it periodically. But imagine how much more could be accomplished if you turn the light on in the room before you set the food in there, where people would see the light before they saw the food.
And by the way, just as an aside, CUFI, and we did not start this episode intending to beat up on CUFI, but CUFI as an organization has a position that, thanks to John Hagee, that Jewish people do not need Messiah, that Jewish people are saved by the Abraham covenant, and that's it, that they don't need Messiah. And so when they give money through CUFI, when CUFI hands that money over, or resources or whatever it is, supplies, when they bring that to Israel and they're giving it to non-believing Jewish organizations, in essence, what they're doing is confirming their lack of need for Mashiach. And it's the body of Messiah who's called to be called to go and bring the good news of Messiah to the ends of the world, to every tribe and tongue, to every nation, to the Jew first and also to the nations, are saying, hey, here's a bunch of money, but by the way, we just want to remind you, you don't need Yeshua. Yeshua doesn't matter to you. He's our thing, not your thing.
Yeah, when you give to CUFI or other groups like CUFI, in essence, you're doing the exact same thing that Rabbi Eckstein's group does, which is to collect money from Christians to give to Jews in Israel that aren't believers. And therefore, you're not sharing the good news of Messiah while you're sharing your goods. And so we're defeating part of the purpose of sharing, which is to share Yeshua, which is our primary purpose, because someone can be well-fed and lost. Someone can be safe and lost. But in order for them to be right with God, in order for them to be born again, they have to hear the message of Messiah. And again, I believe that one of the reasons that they're not, that the Christian world doesn't look to the Messianic Jewish world to be their door into Israel is because they don't see us speaking with one voice in unity about things such as this. We should have put together a strong letter unified against anti-Semitism in the colleges and on the campuses and in these cities. The Messianic Jewish community should have gotten together and written one immediately as a response, unified, speaking on behalf of the hundreds of thousands of Messianic Jewish believers and non-Jewish believers in synagogues in the United States. We should have responded to October 7th in unity. We should have done what many others did, including Rabbi David's congregation, our congregation. When this happened on October 7th, immediately I posted links to different organizations led by believers in Israel that people could make donations to, where that funding would go directly to them, and 100% of it could be used for those in Israel.
So the problem with CUFI isn't anti-Semitism as much as it's bad theology. I mean, that is what it is.
Well, I think it's bad theology rooted in a spirit of anti-Semitism.
Well, yeah, but I don't think that the people that...
Correct.
The Christians and the people at church and John Hagee and those guys, and I knew a guy who was... I didn't know him really well, but at one of the congregations I attended over the years, the rabbi there knew a guy who was connected with John Hagee, and I mean, he I mean, I didn't know him personally, but I mean, he seemed like a great guy who loved God, but he didn't really talk a lot about that. But it's, you know, he wasn't anti-Semitic. He loved Israel, but there's this. I don't think the people that give to Kufi and the believers that that do that, like from the church, the Christian church, I don't think that they view it as, it is anti-Semitic. It is. It's like a antichrist spirit almost.
Yep.
But I don't think they see it as that, but it is bad theology.
Right.
I think the reason why Messianic Judaism doesn't do a good job combating stuff like Kufi and stuff, it does have to do with the lack of unity, mm-hmm. but there's this issue that I think Messianic Judaism as a whole, whether it's MJAA or UMJC or whatever, the different organizations, but it's a cross organizational issue. They don't know what the Messianic Judaism still doesn't know what to do with its Judaism. And what do I mean by that is, like, for instance, and I'm not going to name the congregation, but there was one congregation, and every now and then, you know, I'll check out other Messianic congregations' websites and stuff and read about their statements of faith and things like that. And this one particular one came across, really struck me the wrong way, because they said, we do not, and I'm paraphrasing, but they basically said, yes, we are a Messianic Jewish congregation. We do not see ourselves as a better type of Judaism. We do not see ourselves as more authentic and more. And I'm just like, what? What do you mean? You're not, I don't mean it like you're better because God picked you and liked you more, but are you kidding me? Like, you have the Messiah, you know the Jewish Messiah, you've accepted Yeshua as the Messiah, you have the Spirit indwelt in you, you have every heavenly blessing, it's a completed form of Judaism, but you're parking yourself with the rest of Judaism. So, and it's like, do I understand what they're doing? I understand it. Now, you can understand something that doesn't mean you have to like it or agree with it. I understand what they're trying to do. They're trying to kind of be in solidarity with the rest of the Jewish community, but what they're doing is they're lessening they're cheapening the power of God and by saying, well, yes, we're Messianic, but hey, we're no better than you guys. I'm like, yeah, you are. You're way better off. You're way better off.
Right, and this goes exactly.
Or at least you should be.
No, but you're way better off.
Right, this is exactly what we're talking about, and I'm so glad you brought this up.
They don't
in
know
that
what
way.
To do with their Judaism.
Right.
It's not parked in the right place in their heart. So they're like, it's almost like they're saying, and I'll let you say something, but it's almost like what this particular congregation said, oh, so what you're saying is, it's you're equating salvation in Yeshua with your Judaism, when salvation in Yeshua the Messiah, even Paul said, man, my Judaism is garbage compared to the exceeding knowledge. That doesn't mean Judaism's garbage, but Paul's saying, if I have to pick one. So there's a Messianic Judaism still, you would think they would know what to do with their Judaism, but they don't. And we see that in treatment of Gentiles, and we see that in statements like, oh, we're no better. No, conservative, keep doing your thing. Keep being lost.
Yeah, we in the same way that, and Rabbi David mentioned this on a program, an episode a while back, but in the same way that we feel, and why we, I mean not us, but the movement as a whole, still feels like when somebody says, oh, you're Jews for Jesus, that we have to almost apologize and preface that. Some of the people in the Messianic movement feel like almost like they have to be apologetic about the fact that we believe we're right. I'm Messianic Jewish because I believe Messianic Judaism is right as opposed to...
Yeah, Yeshua said he was the truth.
Right, yes. As opposed to conservative Judaism or Reform Judaism or even Christianity outside of Messianic Judaism. If I believe conservative Judaism was right, I'd be conservative Jewish. And if I believe that Christianity outside of Messianic Judaism was right about everything, I'd be a pastor. I wouldn't be a rabbi. But we need to quit apologizing for that, and we need to unify about the fact that we have a message. And Rabbi Toby said earlier that Kufi and them aren't intentionally being anti-Semitic, and I agree. I think that they the people that are giving to Israel, love the Jewish people. But there is a form of anti-Semitism that says, I love you, but not enough to share Yeshua with you.
Right.
I love you enough to do this. But and I saw a post earlier today on Facebook, and it was the Terminator guy, Arnold Schwarzenegger, and all it said is, "This is how we must share our faith with the unbeliever." And it was him saying, "Come with me if you want to live."
Right.
And that's such a strong statement that we need to understand. And when people give money to CUFI or to Wings of Eagles, Eckstein's group, the International Christian and Jew Foundation, whatever those different groups, they have to know that they are giving sustenance, but they're not giving Messiah. That they're, if somebody is lost and out in the middle of the water, and they're bobbing up and down, and they're going to drown, and you drive out with the boat, and you throw them a life preserver, and then you drive your boat off and leave them in the middle of the water, you didn't save them. You didn't give them what they needed to be saved. You just extended their life for a period of time.
Right.
And when we're giving to these groups like that, we're just, people are just sustaining their life. They're mm-hmm. showing, "Oh, I love you enough to feed you," mm-hmm. but not enough to share Yeshua with you, which ultimately, if you want to live, come with me, has to be our message.
Right. And I think that when I think of what I was saying earlier about the lack of unity in Messianic Judaism and how that connects to what we're talking about with you know, Kufi and all that, Again, the elephant in the room is Judaism itself.
Yeah.
Identity becoming idolatry. Some of these really orthodox and observant leaning messianic congregations, they treat Yeshua like he was like, they put him on like the level, it's just my perception. They treat him like he's like Rashi or Rambam. He was just a good teacher. Yeah, he's a good teacher. I'm not saying that's what they believe, but that's how they treat him. Like, he was just another really great guy. I'm like, no, he was a good teacher. But he also said he was God. He also said he was the truth. And there's so many scriptures, and we don't have to go into it, but just even Paul said in Romans chapter 3, he said, "Are we Jews better off?" No, we're not. So if that's the case, then the message in Messianic Judaism doesn't need to be... there has to be a balance of grace and truth. I feel like they just don't know what to do with the Jewish stuff. Yeah. They don't know, should we be really heavy hitting with it? Should we be hard hitting with the Judaism stuff? Should we be more charismatic? What should we do with Gentiles? And I'm like, why is the conversation still what we should be doing with Gentiles? Because that's a lot of the reason why we split off from each other. It's over what we should observe, how much we should observe it, how much Jewish flavor yeah. should we have, what should we do with these Gentiles that God said would show up if we were doing the right thing. And I think that that's why, and we're too busy flinging crap at each other, that over these little things that Paul said, guys, the substance is inside, that... That the large portion of religious Jewish people that don't believe in Yeshua the Messiah, they're able to they're getting all the airtime and stuff like that. Yeah.
So, I'm sorry, I'm going to backtrack for a second. You said flinging crap at each other. It had me think like the different congregation, and I'll just speak to the congregational organization. But it's like the different congregational organization, rabbinic organizations, are like different cages at the zoo of monkeys, right? And if you look, go to the zoo. I love going to the zoo. Rabbi Toby and I were talking about this earlier. I love going to the zoo. Any zoo, I don't even care. I just love going. But you go to the primate section, and they've got cages of different types of monkeys that don't necessarily get along so well together, right? And what you end up seeing is sometimes they will do that. They'll pick up their refuse and throw it at each other through the fence. And it's kind of like, yeah, we're different types of the same thing, but we're throwing crap at each other. And the reality is, and look, I've said it several times now, I don't think that it's necessary for all these organizations to shut down operation to become one giant super thing. But at the same time, I think that's the best thing we could possibly do. And I'm not saying that it's going to happen or it should happen. It will. When we're in the Messianic kingdom for all eternity, it will happen. But in the here and now, I'm not saying it has to happen, but I think that could be the best thing available to us if it did, because of the fact that what we truly need is, you know, there are congregations that are very much more Orthodox leaning. And that is what it is. Like, if that's who you feel like God's called you as a community to be, then that's great. Do that. And there are those that are very much more like, I jokingly call them churchagogues. They're in essence church services on Saturdays, with an Israeli flag somewhere, and they call themselves a Messianic Saint. And that's fine. If that's where you are, if that's what God's called you to be, then that's great. You do you. But the reality is we don't need to be coming at each other and attacking each other because of the differences. Instead, we should look at the fact that in unity, our weaknesses that we may each carry, and we do, our weaknesses are made up in our mutual strengths, right? When CMC and Britam do stuff together, when Maim Chaim and Britam do stuff together, we do, our services are different, our approach to liturgy is different, our approach to worship is different, the way that we share the word is a little bit different, the way that our congregations interact are a little bit different, but when we come together at the point of, in essence, at the point of a least common denominator, right? What's the most important thing that we all agree on? Let's focus on that, and let's build from there. And so when we have these different, for instance, in the MJ or the IMCS and the UMJC, and I'm just going to talk about these two. They're the biggest congregational organizations. There are others, but I'll just talk about these two. In both the IMCS and the UMJC, there are congregations that are way more Orthodox leaning in tradition the way they do things, and there are congregations that are way less traditional in the way they do things. But the reality is both organizations are umbrella organizations. They're fellowships. They are not denominations, which means that we don't have a baseline that we all have to do the exact same thing the exact same way. It's not like the Southern Baptist denomination, where almost every Southern Baptist church you're going to go into is going to be very similar across the board, right? It's not like that. Instead, we have room in these fellowship organizations for a representation of all of the flavors of Messianic Judaism together. And instead of us coming together in unity going, look, in your community, this works, and in my community, this works, but when we're together, this is what matters. What we put forward to the world is the least common denominator, which is Messiah, the most important factor. Let's push forward with that. And leave everything else aside so that we can be in unity and not battle each other, not be at each other's throats, not, like Rabbi Toby said, not fling our crap at each other, but instead let's straight up work in unity for Mashiach.
It's really important for us to, and you said something, and I want to back it up, but you said something, Rabbi David, that you said, I don't think we all have to become one organization. Or one thing. I think the reality is what we need to realize is that we are one group.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. We have different aspects. For instance, Jews for Jesus, more Jewish people have been led to faith in Messiah by Jews for Jesus than any other group there is, as far as my understanding, numbers-wise. And if the Messianic congregational wing would connect and say, hey, you guys are doing a great job, how can we support you so that those people that you're leading right to Messiah would then come into our congregations? How do we have a symbiote relationship so that we work together? I'm not trying to be Jews for Jesus, and you don't have to try to be what we are, but we are one group. We are Messianic Judaism. Chosen Peoples has their things and different groups. And if we would just do that, and just last week, and again, this is timing this, but last week or week 2 weeks ago, whenever it was, we did the Southeast Regional Conference. Everybody who goes to that conference goes to the Torah service, and everybody that I've ever talked to said the most impactful part of that conference is the Saturday morning Torah service. Now, the reason it is because you have 40-something or 50-something congregations all gathered together in unity, different. They're all different congregations. Nobody's telling Maim Chaim to become Brit Am or any of the other congregations, but let's all get together. Let's worship as one, the one God, and get together and do something together to connect with Torah, to connect with Judaism, to connect with each other, but do it in a unified way. It is the most powerful part of the conference. And the same thing at the Messiah Conference, the same thing at the Union Conferences. When we all as different groups gather together and realize we're part of one group, mm-hmm. that we are in essence, that Chosen Peoples and Jews for Jesus and UMJC and MJAA and UMJA and all the other different groups that make up Messianic Judaism, when we realize that we are all Messianic Judaism and speak in that voice, that we are one group serving God together internationally with our differences, that we have different jobs, different roles, different functions within the community, but we're all one, then the Christian world will start to look at us and say, this is the group that's going to lead us into this. We will become the head instead of the tail. We will become what's prophesied. And then the rest of the world will line up with us to accomplish great things and bring light to the world. But until that happens, we're not going to, until we realize that.
Yeah, and the reality is that, again, least common denominator, is whether you are in a Messianic Jewish congregational movement or a missional movement or whatever else, if you are part of Messianic Judaism, right, if you are a Messianic Jewish believer or a Messianic Gentile believer and you're part of Messianic Judaism, the reality is we are kind of Jews for Jesus, right? That's the whole thing that really matters, is that we believe that Jesus is Messiah and the rest of the Jewish world doesn't yet. And this is a terrible crisis, right? The war in Israel since October 7. October 7 was the per capita the highest death rate of Jews in one day since the Holocaust. And it was solely because they're Jewish. I mean, it's a terrible reality, and it's continued on since then. And this isn't to lessen the lives of Palestinians that have been lost either, because there are innocent Palestinians that have lost lives as well. And as a Jewish believer, forget being Jewish, as a believer, I mourn over the fact that there are evil humans in Hamas that have died. Right, they did terrible things. The stuff that they have done has been absolutely atrocious, horrid, and evil. But they died not knowing Mashiach, right? And that's the thing that bothers me the most. But here's the thing: is we are so divided, we are so broken, we are so all over the place that the Christian world and the Jewish world look at us last. Right, they're not coming to us. October 7 occurred, and the church world isn't coming to us and going, "Hey, Messianic Judaism, what can we do to come alongside you? What can we do to stand with your people? What can we do to participate in the restoration of Israel? What can we do to participate in supporting Israel through you and so on?" They're not coming to us to do that because they don't know us. They don't know us because we don't have a unified voice. Right, John 17, Yeshua's final prayer. He straight up says in verse 20 to 23, I think it is, he says, "I pray not for those that are with me now," talking about his disciples, "but all of those that will come to know me because of their message," talking about you and I 2,000 some years later who came to faith because of the good news, the gospels, right? "That they would be one as I and the Father are one," that they would be united, and through their unity, the world would know who sent me, right? We are so broken and so divided. The MJ, IMCS, and the UMJC have been, you know, back and forth for years. The Tikkun and MJIA, UMJA, whatever, all these different organizations that are separate, they all exist because there were things about the UMJC or the MJ, IMCS that they didn't like, that they weren't happy with. And instead of going, "Hey, we can participate in this in unity and still do our thing in our own local autonomous congregation, but support the greater organization, support the greater unity of the movement," we create new division. And then from there, new division. And then from there, new division. And typically over things that are absolutely mundane in terms of the greater effort of what Messianic Judaism and the body of Messiah should be doing, right? The Jewish world, when all of this happened, the Jewish world should have been able to look to Messianic Judaism as a supporting force that's united together behind them. And instead, what we've done is we have just continued to toe the party line of our distinct organizations, of our distinct differences and what have you, rather than going, you know what? And this should have been the moment. Right? Like I said it early on, this is our time to shine. This should have been the moment where we grabbed hands together. MJ, IMCS guys, Union guy, UMJC guys, Jews for Jesus, CPM, JVMI, all the peripheral, Tikkun, and not that Tikkun is peripheral, all of the extra organizations that have all divided off. Like, we should have all come together and held hands and said, this is our time to shine.
On October 8th, every Messianic organization should have sent out an email and a letter and taken an ad out in a newspaper and been out there saying, we are the Messianic Jewish community, and here are places that you can support through us to reach people in Israel. The truth is that one of the best distribution systems in Israel for aid is the Joseph Yep. Project. It's set up with 50-something different distribution centers. We are there already, and we should have been able to just direct people to... They should have been... Pastors should have been ringing our phones on October 8th saying, where should I send my money? Where should I give to this? Instead of going to Kufi or Eckstein's group or any of these, they should have been ringing. Every Messianic leader's phone should have been ringing off the hook. Where can I give through you so that light will shine in darkness? Because this was a moment of darkness. The darker the night, the brighter the light. This should have been, as you said, our time to shine. We should have been the light in that community together, and every one of us should have had our phones ringing, our emails jammed up with people saying, where can I send? And we should have been able to say, as a people, as a group in unity, send to the Joseph Project, send to Tikkun Israel, send to here. Here are the addresses. Here's the direct links. If you want to help with this, this is the group that does that. If you want to help with this, this is the group that does that. And in unity, we should have been able to do that, and we'd have been leading the path for people to follow instead of here we are in almost January. And a letter got sent out today. A letter got sent out last week. We're months behind the ball on this in trying to do this in unity, and we should not be that way.
No, we're months behind the ball because we weren't doing it in unity.
Right.
Yeah, well, I don't think that the reason for delaying, and I don't know all the reasons for the delay. I was shocked. I thought that when you were, and I'm not trying to be dramatic or making this up, but when... You, Rabbi Eric, when you were showing these letters, I was like, oh no, this can't be about October 7th. That was 2 months ago. I mean, not that our awareness should have waned or gone down, but like statements 2 months later, like what? No, I was shocked that that was going on. I don't know. So I just have to say that. But then I don't think that. And I've heard this, too, with things that don't have to do with things like October 7th. But I remember speaking to, years ago, I was at a congregation, and the conservative synagogue in the city would have a big Holocaust remembrance service, and they would have a Holocaust survivor come. And I said, said to my leadership, I said, why don't we do something for Yom HaShoah? And their response is, well, the conservative synagogue here in the community holds a big thing, and we don't want to take from that. I'm like, but we have the Messiah. Like, why are we taking a back seat? Yeah. What it is, okay, so you're choosing being friends with someone else and aligning with another person, then you're choosing that over the Messiah. You're choosing that over what we have to offer. You're saying that what we have to offer isn't as important because you just don't want to make the conservative synagogue mad when you do that anyway, when you talk about Yeshua.
Yeah. And that's exactly why CMC does our public menorah lighting, is because we would join in with the traditional Jewish community when Chabad would do theirs. And we were coming back one day from Chabad's public menorah lighting in Mobile, and we went, why the heck are we not doing this? Like, right. We have the light of Messiah. This is the season, the festival of lights, the festival of dedication. We have the light of Messiah because mm-hmm. of our dedication to Yeshua. Yeah. Why are we not doing this? We can do it bigger. We can do it better. And because it's our event, we can share Messiah.
Yeah, and I... go ahead.
And we have non-believing Jewish people that come out all the time because they're just excited there's something Jewish happening in the area.
Right.
But what they don't know when they come out until they get there and they hear it is we're Messianic. Like, right. Yes, this is a Jewish thing, but we are a Messianic Jewish congregation, and we are going to share Messiah foremost
and yeah.
across the board. We're and it's been a huge blessing because, and it really came from that same reality. It came from that question. Well, why are we not doing this?
Right. And that's, and I think that, and I guarantee you that's part of the problem. And part of the reason why Messianic Judaism shuffles its feet with certain things, because instead of looking to ourselves, we don't want to upset the greater Jewish community. Well, we're part of the Jewish community. Of course we are. We're part of the Jewish community, and we don't want to upset them. So we're gonna join in with what they're doing. I'm like, no, they should be wanting to join in because they know we exist. I mean, they know we exist, you know? So my thing is that why are we shuffling our feet when it's like, oh, well, blank will make a statement. This organization will make a statement. This, they're holding a Yom HaShoah service. They're having a Hanukkah lighting. And we'll just go to that. And I'm like, no, we can do our own and actually share the Messiah because we're better off.
Yeah.
Because we have the Messiah. So it's this shuffling our feet at the expense of the gospel. So what? Well, we still want to be looked at as Jews. Well, they don't look at you as Jews anyway, bro.
Yeah. Your being there doesn't save the day. It's not changing their opinion anyway.
The truth is,
it's a good point.
No, they look at you as like, oh, those yeah.
The truth
those
is
Christian Jews, those poor, you know.
Yeah, the truth is that all of that feet shuffling stuff doesn't accomplish what the goal is, which is to get people to look at you like you're Jewish, whereas I have a great relationship with our local conservative rabbi, who actually has come to our synagogue with his family and is teaching with me and joint teaching things, mm-hmm. because I went to him the very first day I met him and sat down and said, look, I'm a Messianic Jewish rabbi, and I want every Jew in Pensacola to come to my synagogue. You're a conservative rabbi, and you want every Jew in Pensacola to come to your synagogue. And as long as we understand that that's where we are, we believe what we believe. I'm going to try to share with you. You're going to try to share with me. But I'm not going to pretend that I'm not Messianic so that you'll feel better about it. And he ended up inviting me to come to his synagogue to teach about the Messiah from a Jewish perspective with him at his synagogue. Because we didn't pretend or water down who we are. We said who we were right up front. And because of that, he looks and says, we're Jewish. Not in spite of that. We're not hiding it. We're not pretending. We're not trying to get in under the radar. We're not doing any of that. And the same way with you guys. You do your public menorah lighting as the Jewish community of your city so that people, it's not behind the door. It's not we're trying to ease our way in. And when we realize that who we are, if we could ever realize who we are and actually walk in that, if everybody in the Messianic Jewish movement, both Jewish and non-Jewish, would start to walk as who we are in unity, not looking for differences and not even looking for similarities beyond Yeshua, but knowing that Yeshua is our similarity and that each of us have our different roles and functions, our congregations are different, our worship is a little different, our liturgy is a little different, all of those things, but our Messiah is the same.
Yeah.
When we did that, when we get there, we will speak with the voice of millions and become the light we're supposed to be to lead our people.
Yep. And just to reiterate this, the reality is, it doesn't matter how we apply Torah to our lives. Doesn't matter how we apply Jewish tradition to our lives. Doesn't matter what level we strive to attain in terms of our obedience to Jewish practice and halakha or halakha and put the wrong emphasis on the wrong syllable. But to Jewish halakha or whatever else, none of that matters. I mean, to us personally, yes, and to our own local communities, yes. But on the grander scheme of things, the thing that we believe in as Messianic Judaism that matters the most is Yeshua, right? And when we read, especially Paul's writings, I love this about Paul. Paul makes it as clear as it can be. Well, I think it's as clear as it can be. Obviously, a lot of people get really confused by his writings, and Peter says, hey, Paul's a hard dude to understand, so don't get too crazy. But the reality is, Paul makes it very clear that we should always adhere to the least common denominator, because that's the most important factor, and that's Yeshua. I believe Yeshua is the most important piece of the puzzle in Messianic Judaism. And so I have really good relationships with Messianic Jewish congregations that are very, very church-like, and Messianic Jewish congregations that are very Orthodox-like, and Messianic Jewish congregations that fill the pendulum in between. And I have great relationships with them, not because I try to be like any of them, but because I understand that Yeshua is the most important factor of everything that we do. And if we're going to be effective for the kingdom of Messiah, Messianic Judaism has to do so by being in unity in Messiah. I mean, it's at the root of our name. We call ourselves Messianic Judaism, right. So Messiah must be the central focus of everything we do. And to that end, I just want to revisit, you know, you mentioned that I said earlier, you mentioned earlier that I'd said in the past, and I was going to bring it up, but you beat me to it, that Messianic Judaism will never be what God intends for us to be until we stop feeling the need to correct someone every time they say, oh, you're like Jews for Jesus. You know, I go to the grocery store and somebody says, oh, you're Jewish. I thought I was the only Jewish person here. No, we start talking and they find out I'm a Messianic. Oh, so you're like Jews for Jesus. I don't feel the need to go, no, I'm not. They're missional and we're congregational. They're this and we're that. I don't care about all of that. Yes, I am like Jews for Jesus because we are all Jews that believe in Jesus, and that is awesome. We're in this together. We are Messianic Judaism, right? Messianic Judaism will not be what it's supposed to be, what God intends for us to be, till we stop feeling needed to correct people when they call us Jews for Jesus. And unfortunately, in the conference, the Southeast Regional, the MJ Southeast Regional Conference, in the Torah service, one of the rabbis that was speaking that morning made that statement. He was telling a story, and somebody came up to him, and he said he was a Messianic Jewish rabbi, and the guy said, oh, you're like Jews for Jesus. And he said, you know, I then had to go through the obligatory this, they're this, and we're that, and here's why we're different, and da-da-da. And like, that was a proud moment in his message. I'm like, no, that's not what you're reiterating. What I've already like tried to hone in on with people is like, we need to be in unity. It's not us versus them. It's not rabbinic congregational organizations versus missional organizations. It's not MJA versus UMJC. It's not this or that. It is us together as one. We are all Messianic. And because we are all Messianic, the Messianic aspect of who we are should be the only thing that matters. And each congregation in each city, in each area, should have its own identity as is necessary by God's need or God's desire for that community, right? So the way we do things in Daphne at CMC are not necessarily going to work in Pensacola or other, like we may have things that overlap that are close-knit. You know, like when I was with the synagogue in New York, there was an expectation that our leadership were going to show up in, at the very least, a nice shirt and tie, but preferably in a suit or a blazer over a tie. Preferably that was why, because in New York, that's the expectation. When you come to synagogue on Saturday, everybody's going to come dressed to the T's, right? In the church world, they'd say you're going to come in your Sunday best. Well, in New York, you're going to come to synagogue in your Shabbat best, right? But in Daphne, on the Gulf Coast, in a beach community, nobody shows up in their best. Nobody goes to church wearing their best for the most part, right? It's generally people like at our congregation, you'll find everything from Rabbi Toby, sometimes in a three-piece suit, all the way down to the dude that showed up in cargo shorts, flip-flops, and a t-shirt. And everything in between. Right. And we don't try to be something we're not. We just try to take what God has called us to be and do that where we are. And to understand that the Messianic Jewish movement should have the fluidity and autonomy in each congregation to allow for each congregation to be unique in their own place, but also supportive of one another, encouraging of one another, uplifting of one another, and supporting the community of believers as a whole, as the head and not the tail, because Messiah is the central focus of everything we do.
Yeah. Rabbi Toby said something really powerful earlier, and it was that, and he's quoting Paul, but he says, yeah, I count everything as dung except for Yeshua. And until we realize that our Venn diagram between the Messianic movement, the center thing that makes us all connected is Yeshua, and that everything else is what makes us different, and that's fine. But we can be unified and speak with one voice when we realize that Yeshua is our connection. It is our center of our Venn diagram that makes us all uniquely one.
Yeah.
And when that happens, when we realize it, it'll change everything.
Yeah, it's not this. I mean, look, I'm all for And Yeshua is all for, you know, Jewish nationalism and stuff. You know, he's all for that, you know, coming back and saving Israel and all that. But that's not the basis of salvation. Mm-hmm. And I think that what you just said, I'd like to hear more messianic leaders in the UMJC and the MJAA and wherever. I'd like them to hear more. I'd like to hear more of them say things like that, like, hey, listen, I'm Jewish and I'm proud of it and I enjoy it. But if it came between my Judaism and Yeshua, I'm throwing my Judaism out. Like, and the thing about it is that that's not on the table, though. You can be Jewish and believe in Yeshua. The Judaism's not, and they're almost acting like their Judaism's on the table. Like, oh yeah, like, and I'm like, no, it's not on the table. Like, you can have all that stuff, but you have to understand in its proper place where it ranks.
Yeah, and when we're saying this, and Toby, you're absolutely right. When we say this,
it's like they're afraid to say. It's like they're afraid to say.
All of us at this table practice Judaism.
Yeah.
We all wear kippot, we all wear tzitzit, we all go to synagogue on Shabbat, we all love liturgy. We're none of us are demeaning Judaism or the aspects of observance. We all love it and it's part of who we are, but it is not our identity. Our identity is Yeshua, and
right,
everything else is how we live out that identity. And if it came, as you said, a choice between Yeshua and that identity, regardless of what it is, it's the same as when people say, I can't give up, you know, somebody from Christianity who says, I can't give up this holiday or I can't give up that holiday. Well, I'm not telling them they have to, but if it was a choice between that and Yeshua, which one would you choose? If it was a choice between observance of a commandment and Yeshua, and it isn't a choice. It's only a choice when we make those things more important than Yeshua.
Right.
If it's
or
in
even,
the,
even just as important.
Or just as important. But when it becomes in the right definition, the right counter, it's not a choice. It's not something we're asked to do. But we are. We have to understand. And I want to make a T-shirt that has IAMCS, UMJC, YMJA, IMJA, Tikkun on it. And the Venn diagram with Yeshua in the center, where
right,
all of them connect, all of their bubbles connect,
yeah,
in that one place, and say, this is the real. This is what we have to be. And that doesn't mean I'm going to become part of one of those other organizations that I'm not part of.
Mm-hmm.
But I am part of it, and they're part of me. I don't have to be an active member to realize that the people that are part of Jews for Jesus or Chosen People's Ministry or Tikkun or any of those other ministries or Zaki Shapira's Ahavat Ami or any of these, that we are connected through Yeshua whether I like it or not.
Right.
It's a reality. And I better get to like it because it's the truth.
And the Bible says that, you know, greater is he that is in you than is in the world. So my thing is that if greater is he that is in us, then, you know, I agree with what you guys said, which is that we should be we should be the foremost Jewish voice out there when things are happening, and not, well, let's digress and allow Chabad or blah, blah, blah community that doesn't believe in Yeshua, let them speak on the matter and we'll step in behind them for solidarity. I'm like, you do understand that greater is he that is in us. Like, but what you're saying is, but we don't want to upset them, you see. We have to be very careful. I'm like, yeah, as careful as Yeshua was when he talked to the Pharisees, he was pretty careful, wasn't he? No, he wasn't. He was very honest about the condition of their souls. Yeah, you know, he was very honest about it. Anyway.
Well, with that said, we really do pray that this conversation was edifying for you, and more so pray that it does, in fact, bring about a stability of unity in the Messianic Jewish movement so that we as a whole can move forward with being the head and not the tail, and bless the Jewish world, bless the world as a whole with the truth of the light of Mashiach, of Yeshua, our Messiah. And we hope that you'll interact with us. Like, seriously, this was a spontaneous conversation that came from something that kind of had been working on our own hearts separately, that we wanted to have in dialogue on this particular episode, but we'd love to hear from you. So please comment wherever you see this, if it's on one of our social media posts or if it's on the podcast itself, wherever you're listening to it. Share some thoughts that you have with regard to this, and let's move forward in unity as a movement, move forward in unity for Messiah, putting Messiah foremost above all else, so that our Jewish world and the world as a whole, Jew and non-Jew alike, will see the truth of the light of Messiah as the central focus of who we are. And let's stand today and moving forward, recognizing that this is Messianic Judaism's time to shine. Let's make sure that the Jewish world comes to know the truth of salvation in Yeshua, because Messianic Judaism, Jew and Gentiles alike within Messianic Judaism, are united for Messiah before all else. We'll see you guys later.
Thank you for listening to the Messiantics Podcast. Make sure to subscribe so you can be notified every time we drop a new episode. And be sure to follow and interact with us on social media at Messiantics Podcast.